Epilogue. 1. It was raining on Ngolga, more specifically on Kraytlin, the capital city. Pike and Brock were relaxing among the high chairs and tables on a canopied platform to the rear of a newly opened cantina, serving Ngolgan drinks and delicacies to the Earth Sphere ship crews currently thronging the city's environs. Pike, the first to arrive, was partway through a tray of opaque canakins, each containing a mouthful of potent local beverages. With the rain drumming on the canopy overhead, Pike licked his lips and knocked back another. It was a little oily, with a woody taste and ferociously bitter aftertaste. As it made its way down, he gave a trembly shake of the head which turned into an all-over shiver.
"Ugh!" he said. "That's like gargling on the juice of 100 dead lemons."
Brock's amused look was tinged with mild disdain. "And yet you continue." Pike winked at her, then sniffed the next little beaker.
"So, me and my crew are in the clear, then?"
Sam Brock chuckled dryly and sipped her own drink, a bulbous glass of something hot and sky blue. "In the clear?" "While I was aboard the Agrias to speak with the Vice Admiral, I accessed the Outstanding Warrants Archive, and guess what I found?" Pausing, he glanced up at her.
"Lies and slander, Lieutenant. Slander and lies. Even a legitimate businessman like myself is bound to upset someone in the normal course of commerce, and that's where those false charges come from. Scag-munching pusmongers who can't cut it when it comes to getting the bids in."
He frowned. "Should I be worried?"
"Don't be," she said.
I changed a few details in my report before lodging it. "You're now Captain Riker, and your ship is the Scarabus with a K." Pike felt moved by this, knowing that the lieutenant was putting herself at no little risk to shield him and the crew from custody. He picked up the next beaker and raised it to her.
"Good luck and long life, Lieutenant. You're a fine, fine woman indeed. And if I wasn't otherwise emotionally trammelled, dear God, just drink before I change my mind."
He chuckled and slung back the next one. "And had to hold on to the table as a locomotive of alcoholic severity steamed its way down into his chest.
That was mighty brutal. Could be a keeper."
"How is she?" Brock said. She meant Dervler, of course.
"The ship's autodoc fitted her arm with a surgical cast, and the rebuilding is going well. Might have it off in a week."
Brock nodded, silent for a moment. "In my report, I said that Exra Huld must have launched the attack on the Citadel world before the intervention from the Incarnalith."
"Sounds plausible enough. Hell knows, I'm finding it difficult to remember all the details of the whole demented thing."
He hesitantly sipped the next beverage, found it smooth and sweet, and gulped it down. From the cantina's platform, they had a good view right across all the shipyards of Kraytlin City, now open and busy repairing Earth Sphere ships. In the wake of the death of the gunlords and most of the Shuskar bureaucracy, local authorities like the Ngolga garrison commanders were keen to avoid being labelled last ditches, so accommodations with the outworlders were eagerly agreed. North of the shipyards was the vast launch basin, currently occupied by a score or more Earth Sphere warships awaiting repairs, their huge shapes lined up and greyed out by the rain.
"I'm pretty sure I'd have done the same," he said. "I don't know exactly what she went through. She won't tell me all of it. Might never find out. But even the things she has told me, aye, that'll be enough."
He slipped the next beakerful into his mouth, allowing the flavour to rise into his nose before swallowing, and coughing so hard, tears sprang to his eyes.
"Great God Almighty!" he wheezed. "That one's like distilled 400-year-old cleaning fluid!"
Glancing past Brock, he saw several familiar figures approaching along a walkway leading round to the front of the cantina.
And here they are, finally.
Pike waved, and Ansel waved back.
Okay, watch this, he murmured to Brock. Just let me run with it.
He stood as they came up to the table. Hands were shaken, backs slapped, greetings that sounded like insults exchanged. But he managed to keep his face somber and a bit frowny. Ansel was first to pick up on this.
Chief, what's up?
Pike sat down heavily.
Got serious things to discuss, boys. Been giving it a lot of thought, you know. The long, unpredictable hours, the low and sometimes no pay, the missed sleep, the crap meals, the failed relationships, oh, and the insane danger. I'm telling you, I've had a gutful. I'm sick of it, and I want out.
Mouths gaped in surprise, and uncertain looks passed back and forth. Sitting there, hunched over slightly, sighing and shaking his head, Pike let the uneasy silence drag on for several seconds before throwing back his head, pointing a finger at the crew and guffawing loudly. Ansel was first to point a finger back and join in the general raucous laughter. Even Oleg Mojag offered a tolerant smile. Shaking her head, Brock gulped down half of her drink, suddenly keen to be away. Nearby, Kref sidled up to the Agetsi Punjo, the only other crew member that he could look at without bending over.
So, we're not giving up crimes, then?
Punjo gave him a mildly bemused look.
Not even slightly, Kref.
The Henkayan looked relieved.
That's good. Although, if the captain wanted to give up slightly, we could do that, couldn't we?
Do you think the captain would ever really give up doing crimes?
Not when he's this good,
Kref said, grinning happily.
Not a chance.
Brock observed Pike and his crew while sipping on the last dregs of her drink. Part of her wanted to tell them all what was going on back on board the Scarabus. Earlier, after concluding her business with the Vice Admiral aboard the Agrios, she had stopped off at the Scarabus to pick up a few belongings and was asked by the ship AI to go straight to the special storage unit in the hold. Puzzled, she had gone aft, feeling a certain shiver of foreboding as she approached the already open hatch to the unit, stepped inside, and froze in astonishment. Because the cryostasis canister's sliding cover was open, and the occupant was sitting up, shivering, nictating eyelids blinking.
Hello, she had said. Do you know who you are?
I am fairly sure that I do, was the reply. Do you hold a contrary opinion on the matter? Person that I have never met before?
Sam had introduced herself to Oleg the Kiskashin, then, with the help of the ship AI, gave a brief summary of all that had taken place since the hijacking, which rendered Oleg insensible and apparently dead. Leaving him to the ship's care, Brock had then left to make her rendezvous with Pike. And she had had every intention of revealing the astonishing news of Oleg's return, but then the rest of the crew had arrived, and, with Oleg Mojag present, she was unsure of what the reception might be. Now, as she drained off the last of the unusually blue drink, she rose, made her farewells and promises to keep in touch, before making as sharp an exit as propriety would allow. Anyway, once the crew were back on board, she was sure that Pike would handle the revelation of Oleg with all the sensitivity and measured aplomb of which he was capable. Her laughter, as she left the cafe bar, was a thing of quiet mischief. 2. Their first meeting with the construct took place in a drone assembly chamber right at the heart of the Garden of the Machines. Rensic 2.0 had acquired a basic suspensor module and was now able to float along after its scion, Rensic 3.0. The construct's proximal was in the form of the upper torso of a long-armed Voth attached to an eight-sided, bevel-edged mobility platform. The artificial proximal watched their approach with large, faceted emerald eyes.
"Your advance report was detailed," the construct said. "Satisfyingly so. I now require some nuance."
"Nuance is not quantifiable," said Renzik 3.0, who had, at Renzik 2.0's insistence, been given an audio output at the same time as 2.0 got the suspensor unit. There were, after all, times when decoding a data burst signal, then encoding a reply, were simply too onerous. "Yes, it is," said Renzik 2.0. "Certainty-uncertainty filter layered on a probability matrix." To the construct, it then said, "With respect, are you asking for opinion and speculation?" The construct regarded 2.0 with those glittering eyes.
"Respect? Not something your progenitor had much patience with, but yes, opinion and plausible guesswork."
"On the subject of the Sko Xra, I assume?"
"Just so. First, are you certain that that was the name which they gave to themselves?"
"Confirmed by three first-hand witnesses," said Renzik 3.0.
"Sko is a prepositional signifier, but the archives give no clue as to its meaning.
And were any anti-entropic materials or side effects detected in their physiology?" "None," said Renzik 2.0. "But they were masters of genetic engineering, even though it was confined to depraved usages."
"Strong conclusions can therefore be drawn," said the construct. "The Sko Xra biomech parasites were most likely not originated by the Zaal Empire."
"You propose the existence of another subgalactic dominion, contemporary with the Zaal?" Renzik 2.0 was dubious. "The Zaal Imperium tolerated no competitors."
"So the somewhat incomplete historical record suggests," said the construct. "Therefore, if there was another dominion existing alongside the Zaal, it could not have been a competitor."
The construct turned to study the whirling automation of droid assembly taking place beyond the observation window, which let through only the faintest hum. Renzik 2.0 found itself pondering and re-pondering the construct speculation, but knew that without solid data and factual corroboration, nuance and guesswork could carry you only so far.
"He lost the shimmer ship I assigned to him," the construct said suddenly.
"Your progenitor, I mean."
"Annoying that he had to sacrifice the remainder of his substrate in that struggle, but clearly options were limited." Renzik Estemil was a drone of great experience and few iterations. We do, of course, still retain his cognitive state backup, so any amalgam that fused it along with the both of you would result in a cognitive persona very close to how he might have been had he survived. Would that be acceptable?"
"We discussed this during our journey through hyperspace," said Renzik 2.0. "We want to remain as discrete and distinct cognitions. We are willing, each of us, to merge with our progenitor's backup, just to bring us up to speed, if that is acceptable."
The construct's Voth features smiled. "I have no objection. In fact, two Renzik Scions would be of great utility at the moment, given the situation in problematic Area 4.
I can carry out the procedures straight away. No point delaying such matters. Are we agreed?"
"We are."
"Good. So, who wants to be Renzik? And who wants to be Estemil?"
That was Ancestral Machines by Michael Cobley, read by David Thorpe.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.